This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And we have already had a good time today, so let's dig into this doozy. Dear Jesse, you often say how you hate Obama far more than despicable Joe Biden. Could you do me a favor and go on a rant about why this is the case? Yes. All right. So let's do this first. Let's do a little analogy first, as we do from time to time on the show. I want you to picture your favorite sports team. All right, you know what? We'll make it about the New York Giants, even though I don't watch the NFL anymore, but that was my team forever, the New York Giants. Okay? So let's assume your team's the Giants or whoever your team is. Just picture your team. Now, there are two different scenarios. In scenario A, there's a new owner of the Giants, a new owner. He's a terrible person. We'll call him Chris. Chris buys the New York Giants. Only Chris hates the New York Giants, and he's very, very, very shrewd. And so after he buys the New York Giants, what Chris does, just a random person named Chris, what Chris does is he begins to put people and systems into place that will cause the Giants to lose. When he's out there hiring new scouts, he fires the entire scouting department and he fills it up with people who know nothing about football at all. Hey, you're the new scouts. He fires all the strength and conditioning guys. He brings in a bunch of tubby wads of goo who don't know anything about lifting weights or sprints or anything else. Personnel, the secretary, you name it. Because he hates the New York Giants, he is putting systems in place that will prevent the Giants from winning for years and years and years and years. That's scenario A. Let's go to scenario B. The people who own the Giants, they love the Giants. The fans love the Giants. Everyone loves the Giants. But they hire a bad coach. The coach is just a moron. And the coach blows game after game after game. He's running plays when it's third down and 25, blowing all of his timeouts. He doesn't know what he's doing out there. Screws everything up so badly, the Giants go 0-16. Now you tell me, scenario A or scenario B, which one of those scenarios is worse for the New York Giants? Well, obviously, A. I can't stand Joe Biden. Joe Biden is not only on a personal level a jerk and has been a jerk to pretty much everyone for the entirety of his career. This is a human being up until just a little bit ago refused to even acknowledge the grandchild his son had with a stripper. They wouldn't even hang her a stocking over the fireplace of the White House. That's how despicable these people are. So I can't stand Joe Biden. And Joe Biden, because he's not a functional adult, handed his government over to a bunch of dirty communists who have destroyed everything they could get their hands on. Joe Biden has done so much damage. But Barack Obama is the author of so much of what you see now, because Barack Obama has been taught to despise America from his earliest days. There are endless writings about it. His mentor in life is Frank Marshall Davis. Look him up. When I say he's a card-carrying communist, I mean he had a communist card with a number on it. an America-hating communist with an axe to grind about America. And those were all of Obama's influences in life. So not only was he taught to hate America, he was very, very charming and capable personally. And let me pause on this. Do not send me an email saying he wasn't charming, I hate him. Learn what charm is. Evil, bad people can be charming all the time. Evil people have charisma all over the place. I didn't say I liked him. I friggin' hated him. But he had that ability to speak eloquently in a way that calmed people's fears. So you combine the shrewdness and the hatred of America, and what you got was, well, look, it's not an accident that everything that's kind of coming apart on us, it feels like, didn't it feel like somebody hit the fast forward button right about 2008 when Obama got elected? Obama not only got elected and assumed the office of the presidency, he very shrewdly, I might point out, as a communist revolutionary, he very shrewdly packed the federal government full of people who shared his hatred of this country, and so many of them remain at their post this day, to this day. You know, I'll give him credit. He understood how to remake a government in his image in a way no Republican in my lifetime ever has. Barack Obama was canning a new general in the military every 15 minutes. Now the military at Fort Bragg, they're holding seminars on potential terrorist groups with right-to-life, pro-life groups sitting at the top of it. How does that happen? Barack Obama made sure it happened. There was none of this, hey, great general this and great general that. Barack Obama looked at the generals. He found the most patriotic ones, destroyed their careers, tossed them in the trash can, and found a way to promote flag officers who would, in the very least, allow him to gut the country the way he wanted to. And they remain at their post to this day. Very, very, very capable man. And remember, all the stories are coming out now. Well, here it is. This is the latest from CNN.
Course of this week, as we
hang on, I'll start that again since Chris didn't have the soundboard on.
We are learning tonight that throughout the course of this week, as we've seen the public words from former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, we're learning that she has had a private conversation earlier this week with former President Barack Obama. They have talked about this matter. We do not know exactly the contents of that private conversation. Isaac DeVera and I talked to many Democrats who are looking to Pelosi and Obama to sort of find a way out of this infighting and crisis that has dominated the Democratic Party.
Let me ask you something. Former presidents, you've been alive for many of them. Former presidents, how many former presidents remained extremely politically involved? How many? How many can you name? I'm thinking off the top of my head right now. Let's see the former presidents I've had in my lifetime. Bill Clinton, George W. Bush. Those are two big ones. Let's just stick with those two because that's really the bulk of my lifetime. Bill Clinton, George W. Bush. Oh, I know Bill Clinton will show up at a Democrat convention and give a speech once every few years. Is Bill Clinton super involved in politics still? No, you never really hear from him. You never hear about him. He got the office of the presidency. He's corrupt because he's a Clinton. He rode off into the sunset with millions and millions of dollars, and now he just enjoys life as a former president. George W. Bush, same thing. President of the United States of America for 8 years. How much do you hear today from George W. Bush? Sure, he'll be at this conference every now and then, or maybe give a speech every now and then. He's not politically involved. He's not running super PACs. He's not super politically involved at all. He's a former president. I'm a president. I got my presidential library. I got my money. I got my fame. I got my place in history. I retire. Barack Obama hasn't been president for a long, long time. And yet Barack Obama is still intimately involved in every single part of the Democrat Party. Why do you think that is? Because for Barack Obama, unlike all those other presidents, it was about so much more than just etching your name in history stone and getting your presidential library and doing it was about so much more to him. Barack Obama, because he's a communist, has been a man on a mission for the entirety of his life. And that mission is to punish this evil country who he freaking hates. And Barack Obama has not set aside those dreams just because he's rich and famous now. Oh, I get it. They have their mansions. They party on Oprah's yacht. They bounce around the world. He does a lot of things, a lot of that good former president life that you get to live. And yet Barack Obama, as we speak, as you're listening to the sound of my voice, that man's on the phone, that man's in meetings, that man's doing this, organizing that, because that man, his mission is not accomplished yet. That is why I despise Obama more than Joe Biden, really more than any president in the history of this country. That's why. We've had good ones and bad ones. We've never had one like that. Never. All right, enough of that. Let's do some non-political things for a moment, and then we'll get back to all this nastiness. Now, let's talk about chalk. You see, part of the reason I'm so hot on this stuff is testosterone is one of those really uncomfortable subjects people don't want to talk about. And when you bring it up, people start to cringe about it. Who wants to talk about testosterone levels? But what kind of a society can we hope to have when testosterone levels are half of what they were 50 years ago and dropping still? They're not just half of what they were. They're dropping. We're going down and down and down. We can't have a country in that way. There will be nothing left to preserve if men are slow, weak, stupid, illogical. It doesn't work that way. So we have to fix that crisis. Well, everyone realized it was a crisis. So what did they do? Started opening up clinics where you go get needles jammed into your arm. Do you think that's good for you? How about natural herbal supplements? A natural way forward. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. Go get tested before and after. Don't take my word for it. Go check it out. The difference you will feel in your life is amazing. And they have endless options. CHOQ.com. No matter what you're looking for. Chuck.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Don't forget, you can email us. We'll be back on Monday after this one's done. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. And so I'm having this little good Jesse versus bad Jesse argument with myself right now. You see, you know I love my sons, right? I talk about them enough. You obviously know I love my sons. I don't pretend to be a good father, but I do love those two meatheads. But they left for the weekend. They're gone. They went to the grandparents' house. They're going to go hunting and shooting and fishing and rafting and doing all the things boys love to do. They can't wait. Okay. And I do miss them. I do. But no kids all weekend long sounds pretty good to me. And I don't know why. Does that make me a bad person? There aren't any sports tournaments I have to go attend for 19 hours a day. What, Chris? You know what, Chris? That's not very nice. Jewish producer Chris just said all you're going to do is watch documentaries for 2 or 3 days. Actually, for your information, I made the offer today to take the wife out. They have these line dancing classes here in... What, Chris? Don't make fun of me. And she was reluctant. She said that it's like dancing with a grizzly bear. So I'm not... I'll be honest, I'm not a dancer. I can't... The Kellys... Look, we are what we are. We're construction people. We don't sing, dance, draw. We don't play musical instruments. We have no artistic ability whatsoever. But I like to sweep her off her feet. The problem is I will actually physically sweep her off her feet by accident probably once or twice. Anyway, I don't think the line dancing thing's going to happen, but that's her loss. Let's get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to feel guilty, but I'm looking forward to my weekend. I can't wait. Dear Jesse, I have friends who are felons, and many of which wanted to join the armed forces before they got into legal trouble. Felons are not allowed to serve, and I was wondering what your thoughts are on this. If someone wants to be able to serve our wonderful country, why shouldn't they be able to? Well, this is actually, it's a complicated answer, and I'm sure I'm actually going to create a lot of enemies when I say a couple things here, but here's what I believe. I tend to be on the extreme when it comes to things like punishment, but not in a way that you necessarily would expect. I do believe in extremely vicious, hard punishment for certain types of crimes. Look, if you harm children, if you harm women, if that's what you do, I'm actually a huge believer in bringing back penal colonies where they'll find a tropical island and they'll drop you off with a toothbrush and wish you luck. And I'm not even close to kidding about that. These people need to be removed from society in a permanent way so they can never do anything to harm the innocent again. So I am very, very extreme and harsh when it comes to that. In these really horrible cases where there was a torture and abuse of a child or a woman, I'm a big believer in fast-tracking these people through the judicial system and then capital punishment. I'm talking gallows, leave them hanging there for the weekend. That I am a very, very extreme person when it comes to women and kids. But now that I probably have you agreeing with me on this. You may push back on, but it's what I believe. I'm also a huge believer in redemption. A huge believer in rehabilitation, in redemption. There are people in prisons, state and federal, all across this country that, yes, have done bad things, criminal things, and they're in prison. I believe in rehabbing these people, in bringing these people back into society with a clean slate once punishment has been served. When it comes to the military, you know, that used to be a thing, kind of, back in the day. It was back in my dad's time. He used to tell me about it. It used to be a thing. It depended on the crime, but you stand before a judge and you screwed up, you committed some crime, and the judge would tell you, okay, well, you got 2 years in the clink, or you can go join the Marine Corps. And that they used to force people that way into the Marine Corps. It was, hey, you want to get rehabbed? You can go do it in prison. You can do it in the Marine Corps. I think that's a wonderful idea that never should have gone away. And when people come out of these prisons, and I know we have a bunch of prisoners listening right now, which I've always loved. Why shouldn't those men, when they emerge from prison, if they've paid their debt to society, again, depending on the crime, I want to stress that, depending on the crime, why shouldn't those men get an opportunity to serve their country, better themselves, do wonderful things? There are all kinds of people who've done time, who've come out of it the back end and wanted to reform and change it. That's a fact. So why wouldn't we allow that? I have huge disagreements with how we do a lot of crime and punishment here. We aren't near harsh enough with dirty pedophiles. And at the same time, we take a guy, he holds up a liquor store, maybe he hurts somebody, something like that, when he's 20 years old, young, dumb, drunk, and stupid, and then his life's over? Over? He's going to go away for 25 years, no rehabilitation. When he gets out, all he knows how to be is a criminal, because that's all he's done for the last 25 years while he's inside trying to survive. He gets out. He doesn't even know how to work in civilized society. He's frozen out of the job market. We've virtually guaranteed he's going to go right back to the clink again. Probably hurt someone else on purpose just so they'll send him back. You know, that's real. Guys do that all the time. I hate that. I'm a believer in redemption, and I believe they should be able to join. Well, obviously, again, I want to stress it depends on the crime, but I believe they should be able to serve if they want to serve. All right. I also believe in pure talk. I believe if you smuggle a cell phone into prison to make illegal phone calls, it should be on a pure talk phone. That way, what, Chris? That way they won't drop the call. What? Chris, it's a 5G network. Pure talk's on the same 5G network as the big guys. So if you've smuggled a phone and you're hiding in the prison yard trying to call your drug dealer, you need to be on a pure talk phone. No, I'm kidding. Just switch to pure talk, all right? Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, they hate you. They do. These companies, they run these ad campaigns that are so awful, targeting kids. Just it's awful. And every time I see one, because I've had Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, every time I see one, I still feel responsible because I know I funded it. I paid my cell phone bill every month and I funded it. Take 10 minutes on the phone and switch to Pure Talk. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. About to do a little talk about running for office here in a minute, talking to your neighbor, the whole Putin Russia stuff. There's so much we have to get to on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before I get to any of that stuff, I just wanted to make fun of Jennifer Rubin here for a moment. And yes, we're going to make fun of her. She's a writer with the Washington Post. But this is also revealing of the mentality we talk about a lot. You know, it's a funny thing. If you're someone on the right, whatever you consider yourself, anti-communist, conservative, libertarian, nationalist, whatever you consider yourself, you look at the media, you look at the American media, and you're disgusted. You know they're apparatchiks, they're biased, they're all these things. You understand all that. But I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to believe me here because it's true. You know that Democrats, the communists, they look at the media and they feel the exact same way you do. And this is where you'll freak out and you say, "What? How could they say that? They're all biased on behalf of Democrats." You don't understand. You don't understand the mentality of destruction and domination the communist has. If you look at the American media and you say to yourself, they are 90% against me. They're 90% with the left and 10% with the right. And that is wrong. It's unbalanced. It's biased. It's unjust. And this is wrong. This has got to change. You're correct in thinking that. But when the communist looks at that, he actually agrees with you on your percentages and he's still upset about it. He looks at it and he says, "What? This, the media is only 90% with us? How is it not 100? This isn't good enough." He believes in dominating every single thing. Listen to the Washington Post's Jennifer Rubin.
The media, and I include everyone in this, has done an abominable job of prioritizing what's important and what's not. We are on the brink of going down the road of a dictatorship. That is more important than anything else. I know it's attractive. You can say people have gotten used to Trump. Why have they gotten used to Trump? Because the press has gotten used to Trump, because the press does not cover his insanity when he's talking about sharks and motorboats.
And Hannibal Lecter being such a great guy.
But why do we have that imbalance? Because the Trump, you know, phenomenon, they got bored with him. I'm sorry, getting bored with something is not the job of a free press in a free country. Their job is to cover the most important things so that citizens have the information they need to make an informed choice.
Jennifer Rubin, communists like her, they look at the American media and they say to themselves, why are they being so easy on Donald Trump? It's insane. I know it's insane. It's wrong. She's nuts. But it really is revealing more than anything else about the mentality these people had. That stupid analogy I've used a million times about the islands. How if we were fighting a war with the communists over 100 islands and at the end of it we won 99 and they had one, you'd be thrilled. That's an overwhelming victory. Good for us. Woo-hoo-hoo. But if they won 99 and we won one, they'd be disgusted, aggravated, angry beyond belief. Remember, do you know any of the history of Stalin or Trotsky? We'll do just a little brief thing on it. Very, very brief. You know the name Stalin, obviously, and you know Trotsky. I would hope you know Trotsky. In case you don't, when the Bolsheviks were having their revolution, their communist revolution, this is in the early 20th century in Russia, when they were casting the Tsar out and they were fighting all these nasty little civil wars and the Bolsheviks were taking over, the communists were taking over Russia. Yes, Lenin was involved in all that. But top guys in that movement were not only Joseph Stalin, but Trotsky. Trotsky was a big one. Now, they take over, the Bolsheviks win, sadly. There's a constant power struggle within the Communist Party for a better, bigger seat at the table on the committee. I want this important position, I want that important position. And there's a constant struggle within the walls of communism of what we actually want. In general, they just want to destroy and kill everything, but what do we actually want? What should the goal be? And in this power struggle, after Lenin passed on, Trotsky lost because Stalin was a very shrewd operator. He had put himself in position that he just had too much power on his side. There's a power struggle between Trotsky and Stalin over who's really going to take over, and Stalin won. But they had a huge, huge ideological difference between them. What was that ideological difference? For Stalin, Stalin obviously wanted to control everything, destroy everything and whatnot. But what Stalin wanted, what he wanted to prioritize was kind of a nationalist socialism, a nationalist communism, where the Soviet Union, yes, it will be big and it will dominate and everything, but we are a communist country that can stand on its own against any of these dirty capitalist pigs. That was a way of thinking. Trotsky had more of a standard communism way of thinking, where Trotsky, he wanted communism for the entire planet, in international communism. Trotsky, he was a much more pure communist than Joseph Stalin was. Trotsky wanted communism not just for Russians. Trotsky didn't give a care about Russians or Germans or Americans or whoever it may be. Trotsky believed in communism for the entirety of the planet. Remember what Marx wrote. Workers of where unite? What was the slogan? Workers of where? Was it workers of Germany? Workers of the auto unions? Workers of Russia? No. Workers of the world unite. Communism was always, always, always supposed to take over and dominate the entire planet. That was the idea behind it, and it remains the idea behind it. Today we call them globalists, and that's a great way to put it. You can call them globalists. I don't care what you call them. That's just communist by another name. But remember, it has to be for the whole planet. It's part of the reason these dirtballs in Washington love to sign on to these international treaties and the Paris Climate Agreement. And everything has to be international. Everything has to be for everybody. There can be no unique nation here or unique nation there. No, we all have to be under one government with, I don't know, kind of a central committee running everything. None of this sounds familiar, does it? Sounds like standard communism, doesn't it? Jesse, actually, this guy says, Dear Blister Finger Blasters, I have a question. My wife and I argued whether people should dress up for church. I completely understand that Jesus accepts you as you are. Having said that, shouldn't men hold themselves to a higher standard above the bare minimum? I certainly don't feel like I'm better than anyone else, but I don't think men should wear graphic tees and flip-flops to church. Would you dress like that if you were going to meet the president or the queen of England? Then why dress like that in the King of Kings house? Shed some light on this for me. Society would be in a much better place if we didn't choose the option that makes us most comfy. Thank you. Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it? For church or synagogue, Chris, for church, should you dress up? Suit and tie, or in the very least, a nice polo, jeans, decent set of shoes. Or maybe you see this all the time, especially in the Houston area, if you're close to the beach, Got flip-flops and shorts on that day. It's 92 and humid. Is it a problem if you show up that way? Let's talk about that next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Only this hour. I didn't mean final segment. I didn't mean to jump the gun. Don't worry. The show has more than an hour left, and we have all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk about running for office here in a second, and Putin and all kinds of other things. I want to get to the question. The question was, dude's having an argument with his wife. Do you dress up for church? Do you not dress up for church? Here's what I think about it. It's going to sound like I'm of two minds about it, but I'm really not. I understand that at some point in time, I'm going to have to answer for all the various things I've done wrong, and that's a long, long, long list. I'll be forgiven, but I'm going to have to answer for all the things I've done wrong. Do I think on that list would be me wearing shorts and flip-flops to church? I doubt very much that would make the list. But there is something to be said, not necessarily just for church, really for everything. There's something to be said for standards. And I'll be honest with you, I neglect this in my own personal life. It's one of the many flaws I personally have. Meaning, because it doesn't really bother me what people think about me. I will go to the gas station in a t-shirt. I have this Marine Corps shirt. I was actually wearing it today. I've had the shirt for 20 years. It's coming apart. When I say coming apart, there are just holes all over it. And when I put my right hand through my t-shirt this morning, I tore the shirt because my thumb went right through a hole that was in the little short sleeve, stuck out of it as I was sticking my arm through and tore the shirt. I will wear that and flip-flops down to the gas station to grab a bag of chips or whatever I'm doing. And I really probably shouldn't. There are days here in the studio, sometimes the air conditioning will go out in the building and it's hot here. But I'll show up in flip-flops and shorts. You can't see it. You know you can watch the show on the simulcast. You only get to see my upper body. You can't see it. It's all under the desk. But I'll show up in shorts and flip-flops and looking kind of sloppy, if I'm being honest. I will. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And you know, it's probably one of the things I need to work on fixing about myself, because you know what? Whenever I see an older man, I love talking to old people, being around old people, just getting as much wisdom from them as possible. It's wild how often older men, you get some old dude with gray hair, how often they're dressed well, no matter what they're doing. You run into them at the doctor's office. You run into them at the gas station. And nothing's universal. I'm not saying it's universal. How often do you see an old man at Red Lobster with a sport jacket on? Maybe even a tie. I look at that and I admire it. I do. So there's something to be said for standards. Do I think that in any way affects you in the eyes of Jesus? No, of course not. Come as you are. Show up as you are. That's not what matters. But I agree. Standards mean something. And on that note, no, I don't dress like a turd in church. Dear Dr. Jesse, I love the Jesse Kelly Show. I have my TV set to record it. Haven't missed an episode since I discovered it. You're great. That's good. She makes a good point, Chris. She says, I want to run to get a seat in my town school board, and I have no clue where to start. I decided to dig in by volunteering in various organizations around town to get to know the general public. What are the things necessary for a candidate to do in order to run a functional campaign? How do I get nominated? Can I nominate myself? Thank you for always sharing the truth. Said I can say her name. Her name is Ariana. Okay. If you want to run for local office, one, that's awesome. Or if you want to help somebody run for local office, you should know that that is inspiring to me and everyone else. And it's awesome. Every time I get one of these emails, it makes me swell up with pride. I am just so proud of everybody for digging in. All right. Now, first place you want to go down to the Republican office in your county or your city. I would suggest county because those are most often where you'll find the Republican Party headquarters. Be prepared to be disappointed. Meaning, don't think you're going to show up to some white marble building. It's going to almost undoubtedly be in a fairly crappy strip mall somewhere. And this goes to state Republican parties as well. I remember the Arizona State Republican Party. I'm sure they've probably moved by now. The first time I saw the office, my jaw hit the floor. It was not only in a strip mall. It was across the street from pawn shops and check cashing places. It wasn't even in a nice part of town. So set that aside. You're not walking into the fancy halls of D.C. You're walking into the local GOP. There's going to be a bunch probably two or three older people working in there. Don't expect that they're going to be overwhelmingly helpful. I'm sure they'll be nice. Don't expect that they're going to lay out for you all the details of running for office. But what they will be able to help you with is figuring out what precinct you live in. You live in a precinct, all right? You have a precinct, an area of town. They will also tell you when your next precinct meeting is. You probably didn't even know it, unless you're politically involved. Most people don't realize this. But in your precinct, the Republicans probably meet once a month, once every 3 months, once every 2 weeks. It's going to differ from area to area. You show up at that precinct, you will have the most heavily politically involved people in your area, including representatives, elected representatives. Maybe the constable will be there. Maybe the state rep you have will be there. City council, whoever, you don't know. That is where you go talk to people, and that is where you begin your school board journey. Bounce around that room. You said your name, what's your name? Ariana. You bounce around that room. Hi, I'm Ariana. I'm a dime running for school board. I need help. Can somebody help me? Direct me where to go. I'm ready to dig in. You talk to enough people, you'll get to the political guy in the room who will know, okay, well, this is what you need to do. You need to grab this form. Oh, I ran for school board before. You need to talk to Mark. Here, let me give you his number. Your local precinct committeeman meeting, that is where you need to show up. Don't worry about being a professional. Don't be nervous. Bring your spouse with you if you have one and make you feel better, or a friend with you. Nobody's going to bite. Show up and talk to people, all right? And I'm proud of you. We still have another hour. Let's talk about talking to our communist neighbors. Is there a way to talk to them to win them over? Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.